So the involuntary termination is what we're going to talk about. Otherwise, it's no fun, right? If it's voluntary, if it's involuntary, that's where the case law is made, and that's where the issues come up in any particular city. So the first one is you can have a destruction of the structure, the use, the total or partial. That can happen by a fire. Those of you from Dallas know about the tornado that hit a couple years ago and hit a wide swath of North Dallas and took down commercial tracts as well as houses. There's two different ways to approach that. I've included a couple of examples of city ordinances at the back of my paper just to show different ways to look at it. In one of them, the city actually allows, if it's 100% destroyed, allows a rebuild. And so the policy or philosophy of the city is, in that case, it's not the landowner's fault that the tornado came through and destroyed his building. We're going to allow a rebuild. Most cities have one that says if it's damaged or destroyed up to a certain extent, then you can go ahead and either repair, remodel, rebuild a portion, and it will typically go off of a percentage. So it'll be a percentage of the structure is destroyed, let's say 60%. It can be the assessed value of the structure, the market value of the structure, and then you get into a fight about how much was destroyed, can I rebuild, those sorts of things. My personal opinion is if it's not the landowner's fault that's destroyed, I think you should have the opportunity to rebuild. The second one is abandonment. And so what can happen here is I'm leasing the property to a tenant that has a legal nonconforming use. Tenant moves or goes out of business, the space remains vacant for a period of time, which let's say 9 months. I get a new tenant who wants to come in for the same use. City may say, we've got a provision in our ordinance that says if you're vacant for 6 months, we deem it to be abandoned. And the case law is that's one indicia that it may represent the intent to abandon, but the owner has the opportunity to go in and present his case that, no, I did not intend to abandon. I just couldn't find a tenant for a period of time, and now I want to restart. And so you can either get staff to agree to that, or you can go to the Board of Adjustment, because the Board of Adjustment is the body that addresses all of these types of issues. Now, what we're going to spend more time on is termination by amortization. And so amortization is basically what it said. It affords the nonconforming property owner a period of time to recoup his investment. That is a highly controversial and complex issue to whittle down to a phrase like that, okay? Because the property owner's standpoint is, I came in, I bought the property, the use would, you know, if in certain circumstances, the use is allowed, and then the city changes the use and it gets terminated, not my fault that the city decided to change that. There's a lot of issues on how you determine the amount of time to amortize. That would take another 2 hours, so we're not going to get into that. There's a whole series of case law about how to go through that process. What's significant is amortization is not mentioned in Chapter 211. Chapter 211 of the Local Government Code is the Zoning Enabling Act. It's based upon the Standard Zoning Enabling Act nationally. It's not even mentioned, but in Texas, it is historically allowed by case law. But in order to be able to amortize, you have to have an ordinance. So I would say, this is just a blind guess, I would suspect 80 to 90% of the cities don't even have an amortization ordinance at all. There's not even a process to go through that. The case law and the controversial ones that come up are those cities that do have the process and actually process those cases. Typically, the role of the board is for a set period of time for some uses, and one of them is mentioned in one of the ordinances that is attached, for certain uses that don't have a significant investment in the use. And an example is a scrap yard. Okay? Scrap yard, basically, you can move the stuff, you can sell the stuff, you might have a building, but most of the use itself is going to be outside storage. And they'll say you've got 6 months or a year from the date it becomes legally nonconforming, and then it has to terminate. And the thought process is that's the appropriate amortization period. We don't want to take all these cases through the board. Let's just go ahead and tell them they have to stop the use. If they want to fight it, then we can deal with it at that point. There's a distinction in 43.02. Chapter 43 of the Local Government Code is the Municipal Annexation Act. It actually specifically provides that if you have a use that's in operation, it can't continue. In other words, at the time of annexation, you can't terminate the use through amortization in that particular fact scenario. So for most cities that have an amortization ordinance, it's a two-step process because, like I said, there's thousands of examples of legally nonconforming uses, right? So which ones are the ones that get terminated? The ones the neighbors don't like, right? So that typically what happens is and when I say neighbors, that can be a big area, it could be community groups, it could be a whole bunch of different folks that have an interest in it. And they'll go to the city and say, we don't like this use, what can we do about it? And the city will say, well, let's look at these options. And then they'll say, oh, worst case, you know, the nuclear warhead is going to be, we'll amortize and terminate at that point. Once that happens,